Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Secretary and Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August the 18th, 2014, or it is 8/23/2018. We'll start our first service today with a song entitled The Church in the Wildwood. There's a church in the valley by the wildwood, the loveliest spot in the dale. No place is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood, to the trees where the wildflowers bloom, where the parting hymn will be chanted. We will weep by the side of the tomb. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. I see on a clear Sabbath morning to list to the clear ringing bell. Its tones so sweetly are calling, oh, come to the church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the vale. From the church in the valley by the wildwood, when day fades away into night, I would fain from the spot of my childhood wing my way to the mansions of light. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale.
Part 6, City of David. Okay, we're going to continue on with A Change of the Guards by the Vertus W. Johnson. I've given the message entitled The Changing of the Guards, singular, but he writes his answer to my petition was that I said there's going to be a change of the guards, more than one guard. The guard that I'm talking about is the angel of the candlestick. There's only one angel to each candlestick. Brother Johnson is the angel of Laodicea, candlestick, Seventh-day Adventist. And so he had an awesome responsibility and an awesome calling. He was placed in charge of the sanctuary service for all of Israel worldwide. And he was given that position as the king upon the David's throne, because he's claiming to be this here David as well. I didn't realize that until I read all of this and read his document that he wrote on his three divine calls and commissions, and one of them was David, period, just David. But he had that title, he had the title. Then he ended up saying, well, this David is none other but the Messiah. I'm the antipical Messiah. Oh, he did all kinds of funny stuff. But let's see. It says in 1970, this is Willis Johnson letter. We're on page three of it, of 8 pages. In 1970, the allotted time for the rod, according to the type, ended, and Yahweh called me to the prophetic office. I took the house of David from the Davidian movement and planted it under the fifth angel's message as the house of David. Now, what's wrong with all of this? First place, the Davidian was not a movement of its origin being a new movement. No, the Davidian movement was the third step of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Adventist, in which Brother Johnson himself taught that there were three steps of the genuine movement, and the number one was the Adventist Church, number two was the Shepherd's Rod, and number three was his movement, Gilead Center, 1970, the Branch Davidian. So anyway, he says he's going to take that second step of the genuine movement, the Shepherd's Rod, that represented the house of David. He said he's going to take that now, and he's going to plant it. He's going to take that and plant it under the fifth angel's message as the house of David. Well, I'll have to admit now, we're in the 12th parabolic hour, and the house of David is the beginning of the 8th movement since the world began. And we're representing the everlasting kingdom of David. And so we are saying that we have the 4th and 5th angel that has joined the 3rd and that has given power and light unto the 3rd angel. And that 4th angel is found in Revelation 7, the sealing angel, the marking angel from the east. The same thing as that marking angel in Ezekiel 9. Okay. So that 4th angel came on the scene in 1970. And the 4th angel showed up in 1930, and the 5th angel showed up in 1930. The Tehillim taught that as those two angels that joined the 3rd, and he taught that being the part that will lighten the earth with his glory in the 11th and last parabolic hour. And that's the hour that he was in. So see, V.T. Hallef taught that that they had arrived at the 11th parabolic hour. And he wrote that tract, Mount Zion, at the 11th hour. The track number 8. And it's teaching that the 11th hour began in 1930. Here, Willis Johnson says, I joined the Shepherd's Rod in 1946 in the 10th hour. And Denton Brunken was of the 9th hour, a Seventh-day Adventist. The Adventists were called at the 9th hour to work in the 9th hour. And I was called as a Davidian to work with V.T. Hallef in 1946. And the 10th hour. I just read that to you in my earlier tape. I believe I did, yeah. And so, he says that, then he was assigned to the 11th hour in 1970. So you see what I'm talking about, the prophets from 1844 up to 2002 did not have commission given to that fifth group of laborers that's pointed out in the parable of Matthew 20, verse 6, those that was called at the end of the 11th hour. That inspiration was given to me. And so that's why I'm sitting here reading you Willis Johnson's letter, because this is a connecting link between the ending of the 7th movement, which Willis Johnson, the Adventist Church, represented. He brought an end to the 7th movement. David's kingdom, everlasting kingdom and judgment of the living, represents the 8th movement. I prove it to you on V.T. Hallef's parabolic time clock. I'm looking at it right here. And he's got those 4 or 3 hour periods of time, and each 12 hours, he's got 8 altogether on the 24-hour time clock. He's got 8 3 parabolic hours. 8 times 3 is 24. 24 hours in a day. So from hour 1 through hour 24, then you have 24 hours. You have 3 8-hour segments. Each one of those 3-hour segments represents a movement. A movement, folks. Okay. And that's new light. This is why this is all coming out. And everything is perfectly timed. Because when I get through with this letter of Brother Johnson, I'm going to read you Alan DeLong's letter that he wrote helping me out and making this the change and the transition from this 7th movement to the 8th movement. And Alan was a kingpin, and he was a pivotal point for us. We couldn't have done it without him, and heaven wouldn't have done it without him. Heaven preordained it to be the way it was. He had to have 3 of us working together to do what took place in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, to bring the end of the judgment of the dead, and to usher in the judgment of the living and opening of the seventh seal. That had to have the participation of the 3 of us with our individual talents and with our individual commission that Yahweh called us to fill. Okay? So now, Brother Johnson is saying that I took the house of David from the Davidian movement and planted it under the 5th angel's message as the house of David. Well, isn't this strange? So in 1970, he said he did that. But it just so happened in 1970 at the Pentecost, Ben Roden was sitting upon the throne of David, that he had made him a mock throne in his church there at New Mount Carmel outside of Waco. And he had his headquarters set up there. They had a publishing house. Now, they had everything, just like a regular organization. And he called his organization the Branch and the Ben Rod. The Ben Rod Branch is really what he called it. And he called his a new movement. But anyway, he had himself crowned King David on the Pentecost of 1970. The very year that Brother Johnson started the Gilead Center. We had Pentecost with Verlus in 1970, or he had it in 1970 to start off his movement. Actually, he started off his movement with Passover of 1970. So when Brother Johnson was having his Pentecost at his place called Gilead Center, Ben Roden was having his Pentecost on the same day out at his place at New Mount Carmel, and saying, "I'm the King David," and that infuriated Brother Johnson when he found out that. And he said, "There is no antitypical King David. There is no antitypical King David." And he insisted that the King David, the David, be identified as the Messiah. It'd be Christ himself. That's what he told us. Now, here he is in 2002, writing this here letter, dismissing me, and boy, and these are all the things he's saying. Well, you see where he's at today. Let's go ahead. He said, "I took the house of David from the Davidian movement, from the Shepherd Rod, from V.T. Holliff, 1930-1970, and planted under the 5th angel's message as the house of David." Thus Satan got very excited when he saw that he was losing his hold on the house of David. So he began to look for a fighter to move with me. And he quickly realized that Denton Bronkin had been one of his chief fighters under the Davidian movement. Okay, so Brother John didn't know that I was the antitypical David that Yahweh was sending there to King Saul, antitypical King Saul's kingdom, to be a deliverer for antitypical King Saul's kingdom at the 11th hour, in the 11th hour. Well, let's go ahead, he says now. He quickly realized that Denton Bronkin had been one of his chief fighters under the Davidian movement. I didn't take up a warfare during the Davidian movement from 1930 to 70. And I already explained that earlier, that we were friends. We went in and out of each other's homes and camps, and we interacted with each other, studying together and so forth. There was no warfare between us. Being such a good fighter, Satan moved quickly to get Denton into my organization. Well, what was Satan doing running Rutherford Johnson's organization to begin with? According to this account, Rutherford Johnson is telling us that Satan is the head of his organization. And Satan is calling all the shots down there, in which indeed he was. But Rutherford Johnson didn't know that. He was saying, somehow Satan, being a good fighter, Satan moved quickly to get Denton into my organization and was successful in placing him closest to the leadership, making his work easier. Laura May so jealous of my close association with the brothers, that's when she started making up all them sex lies and stuff on me to drive a wedge between us. And to separate us, because she stole Verlis from the start, though. Said, he's after your position, brother. Said, he wants your position. And Verlis believed it. Denton had been a long time fighter of the Davidians and the Shepherd's Rod message, but when he was accepted into the Fifth Angel's movement, and there was no more Davidian movement, he turned his fight upon my family, the House of David. And the Davidian movement was just taking on a second phase in 1970. And Brother Johnson didn't know it, but he ended up calling his message the Isaac Branch message. And true, I don't remember Brother Johnson ever calling himself an Isaac Branch Davidian. But that was his true identity. So, in his mind, the Davidian movement was over. So he says, and there was no more Davidian movement. He turned his fight upon my family, the House of David. And as the type and antitype and prophecy has shown, and the parables have shown, that Rutherus W. Johnson was in charge of the house of antitypical King Saul. And that he was antitypical Esau as well. As well as he's antitypical Ahab and he's antitypical Achan. And he filled, I know, at least five different positions at one time in his itinerary. So anyway, he says, the house of David, which was demonstrated in the Sabbath afternoon of July the 27th, 2002. So, yeah, it was demonstrated. I was the antitypical David. And so when it was obvious that antitypical King Saul was going to kill David, and which the type showed that he was not contented unless he unless David ended up dead, and he was going to be the number one to see that takes place, King Saul. And so this is where Rutherford Johnson was starting my demise here. All because I gave a message from heaven 2 weeks earlier, and they kept insisting that I give them an answer, give them my opinion, or just tell them whatever that I think is causing them to lose their blessing. And I just told them, I don't have no answer. I don't have no opinion. I haven't even thought about it, folks. Hey, all I've got on my mind is catching that thief that stole y'all's money and helping y'all out of this mess. That's all I've got on my mind. And they said, well, since when have you been without an opinion? We want to hear from you. Nevertheless, we want to hear from you. I said, well, I just got a message from heaven. And here's the answer. You want an answer? Heaven has the answer, and it just gave me the answer. And I'm going to give it to you. And when I did, this letter from Brother Johnson is the result of that answer I give him. Okay. From these facts herein brought to view, let's continue on. In this manuscript, we see the antithetical fulfillment of an event that began some 975 years B.C., which has now become present truth. For the manuscript is based on the biblical prophecy type and antitype, and actual facts, and not man's claims nor man's planning, but Yahweh's instruction. Therefore, let it be known unto you that what you are now reading is Yahweh's latest instruction. Please do not treat them lightly. And Roland Johnson is actually using that sacred name Yahweh, but he spelled it with a V instead of a Y. Y-A-H-V-A-H. But that's okay. At least he was using the sacred name, and that was good. Thus it is made clear by why the Denton has been rebellious against my family for 33 and one half years. He began a part of the rebellious house of Israel to fight against the house of David, Judah. And so Verlus was right to start that 33 and a half year period in 1968. Actually, that 33 and a half year period should have been started in 1970. But Verlus also started in 68-69, a year early. Or two, and but that's okay, because he came to his end in the year of 2002, and he had one last chance in 2003 at the beginning of the Passover to redeem himself and save his church, but he turned it down. Okay, what about the claim that Denton makes that he is Caleb, and where does Yahweh's words show that he had a commission from Yahweh to tell Joshua what to do? Now, can you imagine this? When Brothers kept talking about how he was the antithetical Joshua, the son of Nun, and Joshua, the son of Nun's father, was born in Samaria. Was born down in Egypt. And Joshua, the son of Nun, came from the 10 tribes. His father, and Joshua was born down in Egypt. His father was, but they were from the north. Okay, and so I told Brother Says one day, I said, well, you know, Joshua, the son of Nun, is from the north, from the 10 tribe kingdom. You know that, don't you? He hadn't thought about it. I said, well, they're not from Judah. Where the throne of David is at, when Brother Johnson, believing that he was ruling on the throne of David, actually, Judah, okay, at that time. And so when I told him that, he just blinked his eyes. He didn't know what to say. I said, what about the claim that Denton makes that he is Caleb, and where does Yahweh's words show that he had a commission from Yahweh to tell Joshua what to do? Where in the world did he get this idea that I had a commission to tell Joshua what to do? I told him that. I said, well, if you're antitypical Joshua, the son of Nun, I'm antitypical Caleb. Because it's obvious. When people see us together, they ask us if we're twins. We've had more than one occasion, not only did we look like brothers, but we looked like twin brothers. Coming up from a distance and getting close. We were both 6 foot tall. We both weighed about the same amount or same weight. And I mean, it was so obvious. It was just, it was kind of scary. But anyway, I said, no, he's 21 years older than me. We're just friends. Well, I never thought that. I thought just y'all was at least brothers. And brothers would say, well, we're brothers in the church. He would tell them that. And so here I am, brothers telling the people in the world that we were brothers in the church. And then he comes along and writes this letter and says, I was a devil's imp, sent there to destroy him and his family and the church and everything else. Okay, I have no such information as pointed out in Amos 3:7. Caleb was a warrior, a protector of the nation. My promise to Yahweh was that I would not listen to another voice. Caleb was not a prophet. There was no prophetic interval for him, neither a divine commission other than being a warrior. But did you know Joshua was a servant? Joshua the son of Nun? But did you know King Saul was not called to be a prophet either? But Yahweh gave him that office of a prophet if he wanted it. If he'd purify himself and obey all Yahweh's commands, then Yahweh would give him that the gift of prophesying. But Joshua, the son of Nun, was not a prophet either. He was just a good, dedicated servant of Moses. Okay? And so, see, brothers don't realize this either. But I'm the first one to tell Verdus that I'm telling the Adventist world that you are a prophet. He didn't like that idea. Verdus didn't like that at all. His wife didn't like it, but they couldn't keep me from doing it. I said, well, the truth of the matter is he has the office of inspiration. And I said, I'm putting it out to the Adventist world that he is a prophet that succeeded V.T. Hodef and Sister White. And I told the Adventist world that for years and years and years. And they would go around wagging their hand and saying, and their head and saying, oh, he's got a prophet, the head of his church. He's got a prophet. That's what I got the Adventists singing all over the Adventist world. Oh, he has a prophet. That's the reason Brother John didn't like that. He didn't want them wagging their hand at him saying, oh, he's a prophet. He's got inspiration. I asked him, I said, well, don't you like the idea of having inspiration? Oh, yeah, I like that. Okay, now that the time has and place have been established, let us turn to the events, type and antitype, which calls for open eyes, ears, and mind, with the desire to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, backed by the facts. We'll be reading through one, so what's that one? I don't know what that one is, but that's a typo. No, 1 Kings. We'll be reading through 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 to 33. Okay, so we've been through this already once before a little bit, but we're going to go ahead and go through it again. And behold, there came a man out of Judah, by the word of Yahweh, unto Bethel. Okay, now Bethel's in the north, for the 10 tribes are located. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. In this we see King Jeroboam standing by the altar at the Bethel, which he had built to burn incense thereon. Coming unto him from Judah was the man of Yahweh. Now, here we are. Rutus Johnson represents antitypical Jeroboam here, because he's the one that restored the sanctuary in 1970, and all the feast days and the daily. And that's the only ordained system of true worship that you can understand and perform. And know that's the only time that the incense is burned is at the third hour and the ninth hour of the day. I believe that's right. And so, Brother Johnson having the keys to the kingdom and to restore the sanctuary system and put into operation and had this creation calendar as an instrument that put us back on true time. And so we had no excuse. Brother Johnson had no excuse. We could worship at the sacred hour of the day, and we could worship on the right day of every holy day, whether it was an annual holy day or a weekly holy day, 7-day Sabbath, or a monthly or the new moon. We would do it at the right, on the right day, and we would do the daily at the right time. So this, and Jeroboam was practicing the daily in the north. For the 10 tribes, he was practicing. Well, he was burning incense there on the daily. Okay, so So in this we see a king Jeroboam standing by the altar at the Bethel. And no doubt that this young man from Judah, this prophet from Judah, he went up there to Bethel on the Day of Atonement. Okay? Okay, now watch this. So Brother Johnson, he's the only one that has the keys to the kingdom, and he has the recipe for the sanctuary. And this is what the whole Adventist world has been waiting for and looking for since 1844. For someone to emerge that had the formula and the recipe for the restoring the spiritual sanctuary as the antitype of Moses' sanctuary that he raised up literally in the wilderness and put in operation. So now, here it is. So Brother Johnson saying that he's this young prophet from Judah. Well, I guess he would want to insinuate that then I'm this here Jeroboam that came from the north. Let's go on. And he cried, verse 2, and he cried against the altar. This is in 1 Kings chapter 13. And he, verse 2, and he cried against the altar and the word of Yahweh and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Yahweh, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David. Now this is prophet from Judah talking. Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee. Okay, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. So he's telling Jeroboam there's going to be a man born unto the house of David that's going to come up here and going to burn all of your false prophets and going to burn bones upon for incense upon your altars. Here it is seen that the man of Yahweh cried out against the altar, saying, the word of Yahweh, that a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah. So when was I born unto the house of David? 1970. And typical David was born to the house of David. And that he would offer the priest of the high places upon this altar at Bethel. Brother Johnson, angel of the seventh candlestick, Laodicea. He's a prophet in charge of the candlestick for Seventh-day Adventist Church. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as V.T. Hall showed under inspiration, represented by the 10 tribes of the north, represented by that bear as their symbol. And Brother Johnson is the angel of the candlestick of Laodicea, sitting upon the throne of Esau. And Mount Edom, which is another name for the house of the Adventist Church, and Brother John sitting upon that throne of Mount Edom, and not the throne of David, but he thinks he's sitting upon. But actually, Brother is sitting upon the throne of David, but technically, he's sitting upon the throne of Esau, and he's antipathically Esau, and he's ruling over Mount Edom, the Adventist Church, the angel of the seven candlesticks. So now here it is. Since Brother Johnson represents that position, when I came to him in 1970, I represented this here, this child that was born unto the house of David, this Josiah, and that he would offer the priest of the house. And Brother Johnson, what did he say when he wrote that piece of paper? Says, my three divine commissions and call. And matter of fact, I'm going to read that for the record's sake right now. I have this letter in front of me, a letter of declaration, the divine calls, commissions, and authority. And he says, March the 7th, 2002, in 1968, the word of the Almighty Yahweh came unto me, saying, teach my people the government of Yahweh, both a call and a commission. In 1969, another call and commission from Yahweh, saying, make my people a biblical astronomical calendar so they can follow my governmental system according unto my laws of the nature. In 1970, another call and commission came. So Brother Johnson is saying that he's had three calls and commissions, 1968, 69, and 70. He said this 1970, it came to print and distribute his newly formulated world calendar named Creation Calendar. Also in 1970, another call and commission to organize creation counter research, publishing, and association. So here's four calls and commissions to set up the church under the name of the 11th Hour Apostolic Remnant Church to restore the sanctuary system, the plan of salvation, the law of Yahweh, written by Moses, the judgment for the living, etc. Well, in 1977, he wrote a tract and put a Star of David on the front of it with a shield of David and with a red cross right in the middle of it, and saying, this is the 11th Hour Adventist Remnant Church. Is a new name. Okay. So he's saying right here in 1970, he called it the 11th Hour Apostolic Remnant Church. He only called it, for best I remember, the 11th Hour Remnant Church, 11th Hour Adventist Remnant Church. So anyway, let's go on. He said, to restore the sanctuary system, the plan of salvation, the law of Yahweh written by Moses, the judgment for the living, etc. In 1974, the word of the Almighty came unto me, saying, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, and showed that a kingdom is made up of four things. Number one, a king. Number two, a governmental system, guided by a true calendar system, which we have in the creation calendar since 1970. Number three, a people. Number four, a location. Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, crown him prophet, priest, and king, and let us locate these three individuals. Number one, a prophet, Matthew 24, 35-39. Verlus was careful not to. He did too. Let's go ahead. He said, number one is a prophet. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let it be known that the flood at the end of the antediluvian world, Noah's day, was a type of the judgment of the living at the end of the antediluvian world, at the end of judgment, the type of the judgment of the living, Ezekiel 9, in our day, proven by the fact that the condition, action, and intents of the people today are fast becoming a reality, which shows that it is now time for Joshua, or Yahshua, to come, even as he come already. Even as he left out the word has come already. So, he's telling us now, on March the 7th, that Yahshua has come already. Matthew 24:45-47. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. From these facts we plainly see Yahweh's prophet, a preacher and of righteousness, on the scene, giving meat in due season, truth according to the law and the testimony of Isaiah 8:20. Oh, brother. So he's claiming that he was given meat in due season, and he was following the law. Everything was being done according to the law and the testimony. And if they speak not according to his word, there's no light in them. And the truth of the matter was, we proved that Brother Johnson wasn't keeping any of the laws and the testimony of the sanctuary or anything. He'd rescinded the daily. Wow, they had fallen back into total idolatry, worldly amusement, running to and fro, seeking worldly entertainment and so forth for themselves. Brother Johnson going right along with them. Number two, Brother Johnson says, now number two is the priest, Zechariah 3:1-10. And here now Brother Johnson is graduating from being Joshua the son of Nun and to being Joshua the son of Josedek in Zechariah 3 now, here in 2002. He started out in 1970 as Joshua the son of Nun, and now he's Joshua the son of Josedek in 2002. Okay, he said, he showed me Zechariah 3:1-10. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel Yahweh, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Yahweh said unto Satan, the Yahweh rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Yahweh that has chosen Yerushalayim rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with the filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So he set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with the garment, and the angel of Yahweh stood by. And the angel of Yahweh protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith Yahshua of hosts, or the Yahweh of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my court, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest. So Brother Johnson is taking this title now of Joshua the high priest in Zechariah 3. Thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, said the Yahweh of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. So, that prophecy is applied to from Passover 2002 to 2003, a day for a year. Yahweh took 1 year exactly to remove the iniquity of that land. Had to. That land. Which is the land of Texas. Total. Why? Because he's about to bring forth this nation of Texas as a righteous nation. Okay. That's why we joined up with the Republic of Texas. That was making a movement to bring Texas back to a sovereign nation. Brother Johnson was a prophet to that movement for 18 months. He wrote letters to them every 3 weeks. And I've got a copy of most of those letters right over here. And I can take and put those on record for you to hear those messages that he delivered to the Republic of Texas back in the 1990s, from 1996 to 1998. And that day said the Yahshua of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree? Zechariah 6, 9 to 15. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Heldiah, of Tobiah, and Jedidiah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, and take silver and gold, and make them crowns, and sit them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. So here Brother John said, now I'm this Joshua now, and he told us that from the pulpit. So I'm this Joshua. So I'm the high priest now, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Yahweh of hosts, saying, behold, a man whose name is a branch. Apparently, Brother Johnson don't remember reading in V.T. Holler's writing where he said, this Joshua, the son of Josedek, was antitypical David. Apparently, he don't remember reading that. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of Yahweh. So he said, behold, a man whose name is the branch, all capital letters. So Ben Roden, he took that name, the branch, and he said, I'm the branch. Brother Johnson says, I'm the Isaac branch. Brother Johnson did make that claim. Okay, so Ben Roden said, I am the branch. And Brother Johnson said, I'm the Isaac branch. And then Brother Johnson turned around and told Ben Roden he was the Ishmael branch, and I'm the Isaac branch. And he says, this branch shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Yahweh. Okay, even he shall build the temple of Yahweh, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall sit, he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be unto Tobiah, and to Jedidiah, and to him the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Yahweh. And they that are afar off shall come and build in the temple of the Yahweh, and ye shall know that the Yahweh of hosts has sent me unto you, and this shall come to pass. if you will diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. Number three, he says that he was also crowned to be a king, and first as prophet, priest, and now king. And then he ends up at the very end saying, this king is antitypical Messiah, Yahshua, and that's who I am. So, it don't take him long to graduate from King David to Joshua the son of Jehoshaphat, and now to the king, Yahshua the Messiah. Joshua, son of Rosh Hashanah, number three, was found in Jeremiah 23:5-6. Behold, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. So he's saying that the throne of David was established in 1930, the Vitihalif, and he took that movement and planted it under his movement. So now his movement has been ongoing since 1970. And now he's emerging as this righteous branch that has grown up under his movement, David's movement from 1970. So he says that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. All capital letters, meaning Yahshua is our righteousness. Jeremiah 33:14-16. Behold, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. This branch of righteousness is the 144,000 growing up unto the house of David in the 12th parabolic hour. In the 8th movement, in the judgment of the living, with Yahweh's new leadership that had made a changing of the guard from antitypical King Saul to antitypical King David, just that pure and simple. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Now this is what he's calling me to do right at this moment, is to execute righteousness and justice in the land. And he's speaking to me even as I'm speaking here. He told me as early as this morning when I got up, he says, this is what you're going to be seeking to learn from me how to do to execute this judgment and righteousness in this great nation of Texas first. Then it goes from here and it goes over the wall. It spills over the wall. And you'll find that with the prophecy of Joseph coming out of Egypt. He's a fruitful vine that goes over the wall. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Yahshua of righteousness. And this is Yahshua's name. Matthew 24:45-47. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? The question is asked, who is this faithful one? Brother Johnson is telling everybody that he's this faithful one. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So, when Yahshua came at the Passover 2002, who did he find upholding his word to Gilead Center? He found Elijah David, signing a crime for the abominations done against the leadership and the whole congregation. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. And that's exactly what's happened. He has made me ruler over all of his goods. And Alan departed from here saying, I'm taking flattering titles, and that I'm claiming to be all of this stuff, and there's nothing in Scripture that awards that to me. He sees where Yahshua gets all these titles, but he don't see where no human being on this earth can get those titles. So Alan just threw up his hand and he said, well, the best I can understand is Yahshua represents all of those titles, those good titles, and so we're just usurpers. But he didn't say Brother Johnson was a usurper, even though Alan wrote an answer to this here three divine commissions and calls that Brother Johnson. Alan wrote him an answer, told him he was, how come he couldn't prove it, how come it didn't work out this way. But yet Alan said, well, Brother Johnson published the truth, and you don't publish the truth, and I'm out of here, in other words. Daniel 2, 34, 35, 44, and 45. This is verse continuing on to talk. Thou sawest tell that a stone was cut out without thy hands, which smote the image upon his feet, and that were of the iron and the clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, and the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place is found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. And in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and their kingdom shall not be left unto other people. In other words, this here everlasting kingdom of David in the 12th hour is not going to be left to other people, starting with Mount Zion's 11th hour that was making a claim that they were in charge of this everlasting kingdom of David, that is none other than the everlasting kingdom of heaven. But it shall break in peace, consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that mountain was Gilead's center, representing the whole Adventist church, Zechariah 4:7. And Brother Johnson didn't know that, and that this had a little stone being cut out of the mountain without hands was Elijah David. Was the infant kingdom, actually, that started with Elijah David, announcing it in 1970 when I went to join Brother Johnson, because the first thing I did, this first opportunity I got, within 3 days, I was back in the Adventist church representing this little stone that was hewn out of that mountain of the Adventist church, and I was taking it back to him. I mean, I was smiting that image on the feet with that message that I learned from Brother Johnson. Within 3 days after I got it from him. And it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hand, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim hath made known unto the king which shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Let it be further realized that the ark of safety and deliverance that Noah built was to save the righteous of his day was the type. And the ark of safety and deliverance that Joshua, the prophet, priest, and king, has been called to build. So Brother Johnson is saying this prophet, priest, and king belongs to this antitypical Joshua, huh? Which is antitypical David, according to Vitiata. The kingdom is antitype. So he says, let's read that again. Let us further realize. Let it be further realized that the ark of the safety and deliverance that the Noah built was to save the righteous of his day was the type, and the ark of safety and deliverance that Joshua, the prophet, priest, and king, has been called to build, the kingdom is the antitype. Number four, people. Okay, Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just in having salvation, lowly and right upon an ass, and upon a coat, the fold of an ass. And this we see the daughter of Jerusalem that Joshua has called forth, upon which he established the apostolic church in his day, being the type. With him being crowned prophet, priest, and king, he was a type of Joshua today. Kings, he was a type of Joshua today, a king. See Luke 1:31 and 32. Well, that's talking about Yahshua. That Luke 1:31-32. And priest, see Hebrews 7:14-17. And prophet, see Matthew 21:5-11. This is highly significant, for where there is no type, there is no truth. People. Thus we see that the daughter of Jerusalem was Yahshua's people, the type. Number five, the location. The location is Jerusalem. See Matthew 21:5-11. Thus we see in this, Yahshua riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, claiming his kingship. This is the time. Now back to the antitype and pick up where we left off, which was, who are the people and the location? Micah 4:8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Notice that the daughter of Jerusalem is given the kingdom of the Yahweh, prophesied by the Daniel, the prophet, plus being first, given the first dominion. Okay, so in other words, the dominion of Adam comes and joins the dominion of David, the eighth dominion. The guardian of Eden is shown in Micah 4:8. And in Joel 2:1-3, I received the kingdom's commission in 1974, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Now, so when it says in the Bible that and this gospel of the kingdom, it means the good news of the plan of the salvation through the blood of the Yahshua and the blood of the everlasting covenant shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And Brother Johnson had nullified the daily, which eradicated the blood that is the flow on a daily basis at the third hour and the ninth hour for sinful Israel. For sinful Israel, that's why the sanctuary was given. While Israel is sinful, but when Israel becomes purified and sanctified, and where it says that they sin no more, when it says that let him that is just, let him be just still, let him that is unjust, let him be unjust still. When that angel in Revelation comes out of the temple, that's that seventh one, and the sound of that seventh trumpet, and he comes out of the temple, it means the plan of salvation, everything's all over. So those that are just now, let them remain just forever. No more this sanctuary system for sin. And this gospel of the kingdom, which shall be preached into all the world for witness unto all nations, and shall then come. When these facts before us, we conclude that the message of the gospel of the kingdom that I have been given, and that I am propagating, when preached in all the world for a witness, will bring the end of the world. In order to be saved by this message, one has to accept the message and be obedient unto it, and to become a part of the commonwealth of Israel, and to come under the covenant of promise. See Ephesians 2:10-12. May you have eyes to see and ears to hear and choose the ways of the Yahweh's kingdom is my prayer for you. So, Brother Johnson wrote this in March 2002. And July 14, 2002, he rejected the message from heaven to make this letter to fulfill this letter and become a reality unto him. He had to accept that message I gave him July 14, 2002, in which he rejected. So all this divine letter of declaration, the divine calls, commissions, and authority was passed on to his successor, and typical Elijah David. This brings us close. This is our contact. This is at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this message in mobile. We'll close now with a song. The Pearly White City. There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is Yah. John saw it descending from heaven when Patmos in exile he trod. Its high massive wall is of jasper. The city itself is pure gold, and when my frail tent here is folded, mine eyes shall its glory behold. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, in a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city John saw coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling nor mean. No pain and no sickness can enter. No crape on the doorknob is seen. Her sorrows and cares are forgotten. No tempter is there to annoy. No parting words ever are spoken. There's nothing to hurt and destroy. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for the white city guns all coming down. No heartaches are known in that city. No tears ever moisten the heart. There's no disappointment in heaven. No envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified, holy. They live in sweet harmony there. My heart is not set on the city, and someday its blessings I'll share. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for the white city guns all coming down. Our loved ones are gathering yonder, my friends too are passing away, and soon I shall join their bright number and dwell in eternity's day. They're safe now in glory with Yahshua. Their trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and the tempter. They've reset their city at last. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for the white city guns all coming down.